I'm Susan Grace, and this is Be the Evidence.
We are at the full moon in Aries. So Sun in Libra, full moon in Aries. Earlier the same day, Mercury went into Scorpio. Mars went into Scorpio 2 weeks ago at the last moon at the new moon solar eclipse. Now Mercury has gone in at this moon. When those ingresses have happened, they have gone into a yod with Neptune retrograde in Aries and Uranus retrograde in Gemini, and also squaring into Pluto retrograde in Aquarius. I promise I'm going to tell you what all of this means, okay? So just bear with me for a second to get the data out, okay? In a couple weeks at the next moon, Mars and Mercury will conjunct in Mars will catch up to Mars and they'll be Mercury will catch up to Mars and they'll be together around the next moon in Scorpio. And at the same time, Mercury will enter into its pre-shadow for its retrograde cycle. So in November, Mercury's going to retrograde between Sagittarius and Scorpio. So that's a lot of Scorpio already happening during Libra season, okay? Venus is coming off of the south node in Virgo, moving into a sextile with Jupiter in Cancer, and then into an opposition with Saturn retrograde in Pisces. So what does all of that mean? First, let's handle some low-hanging fruit. So much reactivity in here. The truth will not stay hidden. What you've been trying to avoid won't be avoidable. Lots of defensiveness, right fighting, going for the jugular, not thinking about repercussions before you pull a lever just to see something pop for some sort of relief. Like that kind of stuff is very juiced up in this energy. And so let that not be you. Just be aware of it and stay really focused on what we have been talking about for a while, that you want to come from heart-based centeredness and presence in the current moment and be intentional about the next right thing to do. It still holds. You're carrying it forward. One of the reasons why I have learned, and I drop this often. I'm not perfect at it, but because I'm Mars in Aries and I'm double Scorpio with Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, I've had to learn how to put a leash on that reactivity stuff. And I may have mentioned this before, but if I have, I want to mention it again. The reason why I've learned to do that is because I get real tired of saying I'm sorry for things that I knew better. I know I should not be engaging right now. I know that whatever I am being hyper-vigilant about is not that big of a deal. Dial it down. Wow. That whatever I'm hooked on and I can't let go of it, nobody else is hooked on it. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, oh God, that kind of energy is exhausting and it doesn't get you to where you need to be. And I'm telling you that if you will just concentrate on putting that much like Mars kind of energy into a use that takes you forward, you will feel so much better. Okay. And here's how you do it in my experience. And, you know, it's not the only way to do it, but here's what I know in case it's useful. Okay. First of all, movement really helps. I mean, even if you just go for a walk, because whenever Mars energy gets worked up, it goes down as fast as it went up. So you get real hot, but then you're really not. And so just a walk. I've timed it. It takes all of 5 minutes. Okay. But under that much Mars energy, you might need 3 walks in a day. You know what I mean? Just as a matter of public service. So pay attention. You might need some movement just to get the excess energy off the top. Because when you suppress Mars energy and give it nowhere to go, it will find a way out in ways that are obviously unintentional and don't make any progress at all. And you're like, oh God, it's just a mess, right? So get the excess off the top, but then honor that you are real tensed up for a reason. There's whether it is some sort of fear or self-abandonment or boundaries out of integrity, or someone crossing your boundaries and you feel like they're doing it intentionally, whether or not it is intentional, I don't know. You'll have to work through that. But There's usually a reason why Mars gets worked up, but you need to get the excess off the top first so you can do something constructive with it, okay? Also, really helpful to run either your self-talk and or your communication with others through the filter of, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It needs to be all three, especially in this environment before you proceed. And if you can't get there, sit on your hands, hide your phone, and wait a second, okay? It needs to be true, necessary, and kind. It can still be impactful, have empowerment behind it, and push through in a way that needs to be pushed. Like if we're just sitting in limbo, or if we're sitting here swirling, or we're not making any progress, or people are just getting like passive aggressive because they can't let the truth out, like things like that, you need to push past that kind of stuff, but it can be through it being still true and necessary and kind. I feel like I need to give an example here, and I'm going to run it through my teenage son, and I'm not going to share anything that would violate his privacy, but I feel like it's a good way to demonstrate what I mean. I'm sure you heard, like, teenagers, when they get older, and especially when they're getting close to adulthood, that kind of stuff, they are testing the boundaries on their own empowerment and their independence and, you know, believing in themselves more and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes that can look like defensiveness, right fighting, or, you know, it can feel like I, as the mother, don't know anything about anything at all, ever. God. So anyway, it's a normal thing. I swear I'm not throwing him under the bus. It's just a teenage thing. We've all been there. We were all teenagers before. Okay. So in interacting with a teenager, is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? It can be true and necessary, but not kind. Like, hey, that was really mean. You're being a jerk. That kindness one is not where it needs to be. Because it can be true, hey, I know that's not the way that you're wanting to talk to me right now, and we need to work through this, necessary and kind, because I know that's not what's in your heart. Like that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Like there's a qualitative difference. I don't need to talk to like somebody like they're intentionally being mean when they probably aren't, right? Is it necessary? We need to face this immediately. Is it kind? Because fighting is not how we want to spend our time together. Is it true? Maybe I really am wrong and I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe it's not true that he's acting like I don't know anything when I really do, when I in fact don't know what I'm talking about. See what I'm saying? Like, is it true and kind? It's true. We need to work through this because we both are on the same page. Is it necessary right now? Maybe not. You see what I'm saying? Like if you run it through all three, you'll be able to face what needs to be faced with the best possible outcome. But it needs to be all three. And that takes, you know, maturity. You need to be able to go, hang on a second. Need a timeout. Ugh. But you'll be glad you did. Okay. I share that in case it's useful in some way. I'm sure there are lots of other ways to handle this kind of energy. I think that what works for me is a timeout, movement, true, necessary, kind, sit on your hands and hide your phone if you have to. Okay. Now, the overall theme of what's happening here, the Virgo season set into motion a theme of, we are being called into the next phase of life. It's a new era calling us forward. And in order to move in that direction, we're going to have to clean as we go. You're going to have to let go of the things that are no longer working or they're too heavy. You can't take it with you. It's slowing down your progress. Okay, now during that, being made very aware of what's too heavy or not working, it can feel like really personal, like you're trying to make progress and something is intentionally holding you back. It can absolutely feel that way. But that's not what's happening. what's happening is clean it out, clean it out, clean it out. Get all of the residue out because all of that old shit doesn't match where you're headed. You've outgrown so much. Let go of the things that you've outgrown. It's no longer useful. It might have been useful before, but it's not now. And so when Venus is moving into a sextile with Jupiter, meaning the more of that heaviness that you let go of, the more comfortable you'll become. Okay. But also the opposition to Saturn and Pisces. That I think is going to be sadness. And the sadness that appears to be coming up a lot in the readings that I'm doing with people now is an undercurrent of, I don't know. I don't know if it's shame or regret or just straight up sadness that you didn't see it sooner. Okay. The weight of that, like, because whenever you get into alignment with a higher way of being or the next phase of being, like however you want to see it, if you're going through an upgrade and you go, oh my God, this is so obvious. Yeah. Has it always been this obvious? Well, I don't know, because a lot of it is about you aligning with an energy that's going to take you forward. You couldn't see it before because you weren't holding that energy, right? You were in the energy that you've been living with, you've been living in, for some reason you were aligning with it. That's why it kept going. But now it's really uncomfortable to stay there. It's very heavy. Things are breaking, not working, not providing. It's just, God, I just can't make this work anymore. Correct. You cannot make this work anymore. And so I think that we're going to have to inject a lot of mercy for our humanness on having not seen it sooner. Okay. And being really devoted to what is. Man, that hurt. Yep. Are we going to stay in shame, blame, regret about that? Absolutely not. No. We're going to clean as we go. We're going to fix what's still salvageable. Like there might be some bumps and bruises and scrapes in here, but that's okay. We can clean that up. And we're going to keep moving forward. And then there's probably going to be some really uncomfortable things that you're going to need to face that are in too low frequency for you anymore. Like if you look up and you're like, oh my God, I think I'm self-abandoning way more than I thought I was. Yep. Oh my God, I think that going along to get along and in fact is fawning and it's triggering the things that happened whenever I was a kid. Uh-oh, yep. You know what I mean? Like we're getting into Scorpio season kind of early. And whenever we get to this time of year, I mean, usually it wouldn't be for another couple weeks, but because of Mars and Mercury, we're already getting into it. Once we get to Scorpio, you'll hear me say a lot during the rest of the year that you need to tell Scorpio it's not your turn. Because Scorpio is always trying to dig it up, open the box. And it's not Scorpio's turn. Well, now it is becoming Scorpio's turn. And if something has made it to this point of Scorpio energy, you're not going to be able to unsee it. You're not going to be able to keep it in the box. Okay. If Scorpio has to get involved to this degree, you already know about it. You know it, and you're just going to have to face it. But it's for a good reason. It's transformation. We're going out of a lower frequency and up into a new frequency that's higher. Transformation. Okay. So doing all of that means having a lot of trust in life unfolding how it needs to. Why are we going through all of this like constant changing and turning over and growing and just, oh my God, shit stirred up all the time. Why are we doing that? It's the outer planets. That's why. The outer planets have been going through a process of going into the next sign, but then retrograding back into the previous sign, and then they're going to go back in. Pluto already completed it. Pluto completed it last year. It was September to November. Pluto retrograded back into Capricorn, and now it's in Aquarius. It's going to stay there until 2043. Saturn has already retrograded back into Pisces. Around the next moon in 2 weeks, Neptune will join. Neptune will retrograde from Aries back into Pisces. In January, Neptune will go back into Aries and stay there until like 2039. I feel like it's 2038, but retrogrades 2038, it goes into Taurus and maybe retrogrades back in Aries and goes back in 2039, something like that. In February, Saturn will go into Aries and stay there until like 2028. Uranus is going to retrograde from Gemini to Taurus in November 7th, I believe. And it's going to stay in Taurus until April 25th of 2026, and then get back into Gemini, and it'll stay there until 2032. So Pluto in Aquarius is 2043, Saturn in Aries is 2028, Neptune in Aries is 2039, Uranus in Gemini is 2032. So they're all doing that. They're all, relatively speaking, around the same time. It's over a couple years that they're doing it, but in the grand scheme of things, it's all kind of at the same time. That's a complete changing of era. It's a really big shift. Nobody on planet Earth has gone through this before, okay? And when those outer planets or their slower moving planets go into the previous signs before they go back in and stay there, it becomes really confusing that we're going backwards or that there's no way forward. And so you're going to have in the coming months, you're going to have Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus doing it all at the same time. It's not just one completes and then the next one, and then they complete, and then the next one. It's not like that. Pluto did it by itself. These three are doing it pretty much together. And so it's up ahead. It is going to get confusing, loud, and convincing that it's just going to be, it's going to be turbulent. It's going to be, I really don't want it to be that so many people are convinced we're going backwards that it starts to really cause some serious, serious problems. I don't want that to be the case. What I would want to be the case is that most people collectively were like, come on, we're moving forward. Come on. I don't want high resistance to suck up all the oxygen in the process that we're in. It could. But I'm telling you that no matter what, all of those planets are going into the next signs. You can't make them not do it. They're doing it. Okay? I mean, no matter how much you go, no, they're still going to go, okay, well, we're doing it anyway. All right? And in those next signs, Pluto and Aquarius, is we're too far apart from each other. We have to find each other. That's the whole thing I've been talking about. We find ourselves so that we can find each other. It's decentralization, visionary future forward, dissemination of information. You can't make any of that not happen. Pluto is not a negotiator. This is happening, okay? Saturn and Neptune in Pisces, in my opinion, is saying there are other ways that you could be doing this. You don't have to keep learning through suffering. You're more, and then they go into Aries. You're more empowered than you think, so act like it. Bring transcendence, healing, oneness into our incarnated selves, because if we don't do that, we keep hurting ourselves and each other, and we have to grow out of that. Uranus in Taurus is there is a much higher quality of life on offer, but we have to push through what we've seen so far. We have to elevate values and resources and what we're manifesting in the world as a collective. We have to punch through where we've seen so far and do something different and higher. And then going into Gemini is opening up our perception as to the nature of our existence, especially whenever it's trining into Pluto and Aquarius. Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius. The opening of consciousness itself as to the nature of our existence is going to get weird, real weird. It's going to be things that it will be very obvious. Nobody can deny it. You can't unsee it. And we go, what the fuck is this? okay? It's the opening of consciousness as to the nature of our existence. It is something that we can't comprehend right now. I don't know what that could be. I think that there are probably educated guesses. I think it has something to do with the interdimensional nature of our existence. I think it's possible that what we see as coming from, you know, another civilization from a far, far off planet could in fact be us. That whatever we discover, whatever opens up, it's some nature of, it's coming from us in some way. I don't know. It's hard to describe. Anyway, you'll see. It's going to happen whether we can understand it right now or not. And all of these things that I'm describing requires you to evolve and keep pace with it. What I mean by that is, if you refuse to grow, if you refuse to try something new, if you insist on how it's always been, you're going to be in high resistance and it will feel very turbulent. If you understand that you are adaptable and teachable and we lead with discovery and we try new things, then we can do all kinds of things. Like the thing that I swear I'm going to hold in my head until my last breath is the lavender fields. I can't get over it. Like, oh my God. If you haven't heard me mention this before, bear with me if you have. I can't remember if it was the last time we talked here or the time before that. Anyway, I've been telling people that I think there's going to be an industry of people going into communities and helping entire communities retool their purpose and their usefulness, retool their humanness into a more future forward kind of way, because there won't be things like coal mines. I was saying that to someone that I was in a reading with, and she said, oh, haven't you heard? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, it's already happening. They're turning coal mines, the land that has been wrecked by coal mines, they're turning them into lavender fields. And the people who were coal mining are now working the lavender fields, and they're turning that lavender into things like oils and soaps and, you know, shit like that. Not shit, but you know what I'm saying. And I'm like, oh man, we might make it. Wow. You see what I'm saying? Like, if we are adaptable and teachable and we are brave and trying new things, we can do all kinds of stuff. But we have to let the density of old ways dissolve. And people who are afraid of change or are trying to hold on to control will double down on that shit and say no and try to put a real hard brake on it. But you can't stop it. You can't stop these far-reaching changes from happening. They're happening no matter what. Like a great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter in Aquarius, December 21st of 2020. They're going to meet up in air about every 20 years for 200 years. You can't make that opening of consciousness not happen. When they were in Earth, that was the Industrial Revolution. Can't make the Industrial Revolution not happen because it makes you nervous. But now in air, we're going to have to clean up, the earthbound damage that a lot of the Industrial Revolution caused. For sure, we're going to have to solve those problems. But the Industrial Revolution is going to happen no matter what. The opening of consciousness itself is going to happen no matter what. When I talk with people in the readings that I do who are 100% here for this, they're excited. They're like, hell yeah, let's fucking go, right? And I've been thinking about this kind of stuff in very long terms. I think that there is, if all of time is happening at once, which quantum physics says it is, then there is a future forward version of us that's looking at us right now and being like, oh my God, like, what are they going to do? And we're like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I feel like there will come a time when you look back at this time and be like, that was wild. That was wild. And to be aware of it in real time is I think it's very exciting. I think it's very exciting to be here right now. I think it's very exciting to be aware of your awakening as it's happening. I think it's very exciting that we're all here at the same time doing this together, like talking to each other about it. You know what I mean? Like, we're not flying blind, especially if you're listening to this right now, if you're within earshot of what I'm saying, you're not flying blind. We have instruction. We have instruction as we go. This is not like, we don't have to just guess. We know exactly what to do. We have instruction. That's crazy. I think that it is very exciting that we are alive during a time when we're in the changing of eras that people will look back on for a very long time. A very long time. This is we are in the middle of history. And personally, like, let's make it exciting. Whoever came up with that lavender field thing, I swear to God, I want to meet that person. Let's do something interesting. Let's do something interesting. Let's try something new. I mean, like right now you have people right now who are actively putting their effort and their resources into building communities where people can be there for one another. Right now, it's happening right now, not one day, this day. When there are sociologists who study like the longevity of communities, and the communities that live the longest are the ones who are mostly plant-based, and they live in communities where they support each other. Nobody is in it alone. They support each other through their life cycles. They are cooperative. They have common goals. They all work together. And right now, you have people right now in the middle of what looks like an overwhelming, turbulent unknown are going, good idea. Let's get back to that. Getting back into like ancient wisdom. That's exciting. And I hope that you're excited too. I hope that you're excited too. Take the instruction of where we are, cleaning as we go, heart-based presence. Comfort in the mundanity. Comfort in being here right now. Be here all the way. There's nothing to escape from. We're finding ourselves to find each other. Let's lead with discovery. Let's see what we can stir up. Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can come up with. Let's get into a higher way of being, in a higher frequency, to solve problems in ways that we haven't been able to perceive before. That's exciting. And I'm so grateful to be in that wave, in this time, with you. Thanks for being here to listen in on me talk about this stuff. I'm very grateful for your presence. Thanks for being here. You would have no way of knowing how much time I spend in gratitude, specifically for you. I'm very grateful for you. I really appreciate you being here and for your support. And it is my great honor to be present during your becoming and with us continuing to do this together.
Thank you for joining me this week. If you'd like ongoing support outside of these podcasts, you're invited to register as a member at betheevidence.live and receive your invitation to join all of our community in the new app, which we are very excited about. You can also schedule one-on-one time with me at susangrace.org. We'll talk again soon.